because you can find it on page 967. So from the Gospel of Matthew, verses 1 to 12. And the title above the paragraph says, John the Baptist prepares the way. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt round his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This is the word of the Lord.
Those of you who are observant will have noticed that was the same reading that we had last Sunday evening, the last service here, which Kai was preaching on. So people say now not only do your vicars look alike, but they start to choose the same passage to preach upon as well. In the church, we're in Advent, and this year it seems to be John the Baptist season in terms of set readings. And that was one of the set readings again today about John the Baptist. So it's my turn this week to preach on John the Baptist. First, though, an important question, which is, what do Winnie the Pooh and John the Baptist have in common? Well, they both have the same middle name. Takes you a while to work that one out. Well done, those that have got that one. We're going to consider John the Baptist this morning, his ministry, what we can learn from him. And we're going to be looking at that passage in Matthew 3. You might like to have that open. But before we go any further, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the examples contained in it. We thank you for John the Baptist and his ministry of preparation, of being the one preparing the way for the Lord. We pray that as we unpack this passage this morning, your Spirit will speak deep into our hearts, that we may be changed people. Amen. Many of you know that I like riding horses. I was riding again on Friday this week. It's lovely to be able to go out on a horse. And horses fall in two categories, if you've ever done any riding horses. They're either leaders or followers. If you take a horse out of the stables on a hack, there's some horses that will jostle to be in the front. They don't like following. They want to be the one in front. Others won't go if they're the one in front. They want another horse to go in front in the scary road, and they will only go if they follow. Some are leaders, some are followers. And the same could be true often for people. Many of us are naturally leaders, want to be ahead. And many of us are naturally followers that want to follow on from other people. John the Baptist took on the job of being a leader, of being the one to go ahead, the one for others to follow, the one who was sent to prepare the way for Jesus' ministry. We look at this passage. There's some amazing truths in here for us today from John the Baptist. It begins, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness. So that's where we begin, in the wilderness. It's not a good place to begin, is it? Wilderness. It's barren, inhospitable, it's lonely. But that's where we begin. I wonder, do you feel like you're in the wilderness this morning? Because there is a spiritual wilderness, feeling alone, feeling lost, being without hope. Is that where you are today? Christmas can be a bleak time. Maybe you're feeling like you're in a desert place today, in that wilderness. And you know, there are two types of wilderness. There's the desert regions mentioned here. Places that have always been deserted. Wild places, never tamed by man. And that might be your spiritual wilderness today. Your life has always been an arid, dry place. You've never known the love of God. Never experienced his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness. That's one type of wilderness. The other type of wilderness is one that is created by neglect. Even the greatest of our landscape gardens will turn back to wilderness slowly if it's not tended regularly. Maybe that might be your spiritual wilderness today. Maybe you once walked closely with God, but you've allowed the weeds of sin to take root, grown sloppy with your spiritual gardening. Are you in the wilderness today? As you look back over the past year, how would you assess your growth spiritually? If, like me, you might answer that your life is more like a litter-strewn backyard than a National Trust garden, then there is good news. That first verse we read, "And so John came, preaching in the wilderness." God's messenger to the people, where? In that wilderness. And that message is just as relevant to us in our wilderness today. Maybe, of course, you're sitting there in your pew and your walk with God is perfect, your prayer life is wonderful, and you're already overflowing with love for God and all that he's doing. Then, if that's you, then you don't need to listen for the next hour or two while I preach. But please do pray for the rest of us. But pray for those that have never left the wilderness and those who've allowed the wilderness to encroach upon the holy in their lives. John the Baptist came into the wilderness. His message was simple. Three words. Three words I'm going to just draw out this passage, and that's all we need to do. Turn, learn, and burn. For this talk, as I was preparing it, I thought, shall I do a PowerPoint presentation? And I thought, no, you can remember those three words. I don't need to put them up on the screen for you. Turn, learn, and burn. Turn, then, first. John the Baptist's message, what was it? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent. That's where it starts, repentance. What does repentance mean? The dictionary says it means the act of reviewing one's actions and feeling regret for the past wrongs. In the New Testament, the Greek word used there simply means to turn around. To turn around. It's a military term. It was used for soldiers. They'd been marching in one direction, and they'd get that command to repent, which to them means an about turn. Face the opposite direction. Be ready to go back to the direction you've just come. An about turn. And John the Baptist came. His message was turn. Turn. Turn away from sin. You're facing the wrong way. Turn to God for forgiveness. We need to realize we've done wrong. Confess our sins to him. Whether we've never done that before, or whether we've done it thousands of times, the way out of the wilderness is the same. And that's what the people of Jerusalem did. They came to John. They heard his message of turn, and they did just that. Verse 5 in our reading says that confessing their sins, they were baptized by him. A symbolic washing. Turning away from their old ways of living, asking God for forgiveness, and having a new start. It's lovely when you get a chance to have a new start. As a family, we enjoyed a chance to start again in a new town when I was made the curate of Aberiron. We returned to Aberystwyth and started afresh in a new house with new things. It's a lovely privilege. I enjoyed working as a head teacher for a number of years, and we had 3 new years every year. That's great. You can celebrate New Year 3 times a year as a head teacher. You have a new academic year, which is really exciting for teaching staff as well as the pupils, when you get new books and a new set of pupils and all sorts of things like that that go on, and new time. Then you have the New Year itself that everybody else celebrates at the end of December and the beginning of January, starting a new year. And then, of course, as a head teacher, I look forward to April, which was a new financial year, when I'd find out how much money the local authority were going to give me to spend on the pupils, or not, as the case may be. But 3 new years. It's lovely to get a new start. Maybe you want a new start today, as we come to the end of this year. Maybe things have got outgrown and overgrown and messy. And this year's got a bit out of control. The message from the John the Baptist is still relevant for us today. Turn, turn, come to God in repentance. Say sorry. Admit you've done things wrong. Ask for forgiveness and a new start. God will meet you if you come to him. So turn. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." That's how our passage starts. But then we get all that stuff about his clothes. Because it's not often in the New Testament, if you read the Bible, it's not often we hear about people's clothing. Certainly in the New Testament. When we come to our Christmas readings, we're going to have lots of them in our carol service this afternoon. It won't say, "And then Mary, dressed in a simple powder blue blouse with a contrasting navy skirt with box pleats, laid her baby in the manger." It doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't say what they were wearing. We have to imagine it and we have to do that. But the Bible tells us about John the Baptist's clothing. He wore clothing made of camel hair, a leather belt around his waist. Why are we told about this? And what's that about his diet? Why are we told what he's eating? What his packed lunch was made of? It's all to emphasize his simple lifestyle. He turned his back on the comforts of city life, and he learned what was really important. And that's our second word, learn. We need to turn to God in repentance and then learn, or maybe relearn, what is really important in life. I wonder what your priorities are for 2020. Nice holiday, new car, decorate the house, get a new job, pass your exams. All good things, nothing wrong with those. But what are your spiritual priorities for the year ahead? How are you planning to walk closer with God? How open are you to God changing your plans and using you for his glory? We talked earlier about the wilderness and how it encroaches upon us gradually. A weed starts as a tiny little seedling. That lawn which you never quite get around to cutting. The weather's never quite right. There's a broken fence panel. And bit by bit, our garden turns into a wilderness. I wonder, has the same thing happened to you spiritually? Have you let things slip? We need to turn and then learn. Learn the right priorities. What is important to you in your life? Beware materialism. Beware the love of money, the love of things, the love of importance, the love of entertainment. Turn. And learn. Learn to do some spiritual gardening. John knew his priorities in life. He knew what was really important. It wasn't food or clothes for him. The Bible makes that clear. Jesus reminded his disciples, we need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That much. That's our priorities. That's what we need to learn. Turn. Learn. But there's more. John was excited about Jesus, the one who was to come. He said, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And that gives us our third lesson, burn. Have we been baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire? Because that's what John said that Jesus would do. Now, I'm not going to pack all of that about baptism of the Spirit and what does that mean, but John's audience would have understood exactly what he was going on about. People listening, they'd just been baptized in water. They would have gone into the river, been fully immersed in it, and come out dripping wet, soaked right through. It's fortunate, of course, it's a warm country, not like the weather today. The water, though, would have penetrated everything. They'd be thoroughly wet through. In the same way, said John, Jesus is going to make sure that God's Holy Spirit will soak into everything. You'll be fully immersed in the things of God. Just like you're standing there now, says John, just like you can't think of anything about how cold that river was and how wet you are, taking over all of your thoughts, just like that, you're going to be on fire for the things of the Lord, unable to think about anything else, focused completely on him. So does that describe us today? On fire for God, fully immersed in him and him alone? Or do we need to ask God to immerse us again in his Spirit, set our hearts aflame with love for him? I've confessed before you my love of fire, and I love fire. Fascinated by it. It's a great and exciting thing. It's reason I chose to do a bit of chemistry at university. You get to burn lots of things. It's very exciting. My wife thinks it's romantic when I produce candles for our evening meal at home, but no, it's just because I like the candles and they're a bit of controlled fire that I can have on the table. It's nice. As a child, I used to love it when my dad had a bonfire in the garden. When he'd finished, my sister and I would scour the garden looking for twigs and rotten branches and bits of rubbish, anything we could put on the fire to keep it going. Weeds and blown leaves and rubbish. I'd even raid my mom's kitchen bin to find out if there's anything that would burn in there and try and put that on the fire, keep it going. We'd work hard to keep that fire alight. Are we working hard to keep our spiritual fire going? Or has it died right down? God is waiting to pour out his Holy Spirit in our lives. And all we need to do is ask. Ask him to relight that fire. Stir up the flame. Burn up the rubbish so we can burn brightly with love for him. That's a great image, isn't it? Burning rubbish to produce warmth. That's what we do in a fire. And that's what God can do with us. As a child, one thing my sister and I would love to do after my dad had had a bonfire is to get up early the next morning and to try and rekindle the fire. If it had been a good fire and it had been left to burn itself out overnight and we hadn't had any rain, it was easy to do. Even though it looked completely dead, we'd just dig up a few bits, find a bit of paper, find some glowing embers and set the fire again. Where there'd been a fire, it's easy to set light again. Maybe you need the fire of the Holy Spirit, again, that once burned brightly, and you need to be set alight for him again. We need to give him our rubbish and ask him to set us on fire for him again. John the Baptist, a message to those in the wilderness, but a message to us today. Turn, learn, burn. I'm going to pray in a moment, but just a short time of silence for you to pray your own prayers and respond. Maybe this morning in your wilderness, you need to turn, to repent, to confess something. Maybe there's something to learn, a realigning of priorities, so you're placing God first. Or maybe you just want to ask to burn more brightly. I need the filling of the Holy Spirit. To a moment of quiet as we respond. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the message of John the Baptist who taught the crowds about Jesus. As they were immersed in the river, we too want to be immersed fully in you and your Holy Spirit. Help us to turn away from the wrong things in our lives. Give us a new start in you. We pray that our love for you will burn more strongly in our hearts, and that you will teach us and guide us through the coming year, that we may live our lives for your glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. Please would you stand for the peace.